Welcome to the GMAT Strategy Podcast. You're here because you believe there's a better way to study for the GMAT, and so do we. We created the GMAT strategy to maximize your results and minimize your effort so you can get to the fun parts about business school and life as quickly as possible. My name is Isaac Puglia, and I've been teaching GMAT classes and tutoring privately for the GMAT for almost a decade, and I've achieved a 99th percentile score on the GMAT and helped thousands of students get into the business schools of their choice. I'm excited to be a part of your MBA journey since we all at TGS think our world can benefit from the best possible business leaders that we can find. If this show is bringing you value, please share it with your friends and family who are studying so that together we can make this process as easy and as painless as it can possibly be. Let's go. Today, I want to talk about the GMAT Focus Edition versus the new shorter GRE versus the executive assessment. Which one should you take in 2024? It's a big question these days, and I've realized doing some research that there's a lot of outdated information. So I want to make sure you're set up for success for the current situation. The question of which is going to be easiest for me or which is going to be best for me really varies a lot by individual. So I'm going to give you some concrete examples of how you can make good decisions for yourself. Let's jump right in. The key question and number one question that governs all others is, do all of your target programs accept all of the tests? Because if some of your target programs do not accept the executive assessment, I recommend just taking that off the table from the beginning. Similarly, if not all of your target programs accept the GRE, I recommend just taking that off the table from the beginning. Now, you can have those as like a plan Z backup just in case your initial choice doesn't go the way that you want it to. But if you follow the other advice I give in the rest of the pod, then you should be well set up for success. And most likely, you're going to be successful with whichever exam you pick. And so today, hopefully, is going to be super valuable for you going forward because we're going to set you up for success with the right exam from the beginning. All right. Now, first off, the executive assessment is less commonly accepted than the GMAT and GRE, and the GRE is accepted at maybe half the number of MBA programs that the GMAT is. So odds are you're going to be doing GMAT, but let's just jump right in and talk about who specifically should take the GMAT Focus Edition. Number one, if you're not naturally great at English grammar, that's a big reason to take the GMAT Focus Edition. English grammar used to be a big component of the GMAT, and that is still a big component of the executive assessment. The executive assessment still has a question type called sentence correction that not only tests your command of English grammar, there's a lot of sort of tricks of the trade about how the GMAT specifically likes to present this information, how to be a good decision maker on it. And there's definitely a certain percentage of people who, with no prep, can just ace what's called sentence correction on the executive assessment. If that's not you, then GMAT Focus Edition would be a great bet, and I would take the EA off the table for now, because what that means, if you don't have to study for sentence correction, that means that there's a whole question type, a whole content area that just doesn't even need to be addressed, which is probably going to save you a lot of time. The way you can figure this out is you could take a practice EA and see some sentence correction questions, but there's no free practice executive assessment. And so instead, what I'd recommend is doing a little bit of web searching and figuring out how you can filter for sentence correction questions on GMAT Club. It's a really valuable feature of gmatclub.com. If I can get a link to the specific thing I'm talking about in the description of the pod, I'll put that there. And what I would do is I would set yourself up with some 700 or higher level sentence correction questions. And if you're not getting at least 8 out of 10 or 16 out of 20 on a set of those, forget about sentence correction, forget about the executive assessment, because it's going to take more than zero time to get great at that stuff, which is time you don't need to be investing because GMAT Focus doesn't have sentence correction anymore. So that's point number one for GMAT Focus. If you're not naturally just crushing sentence correction questions, GMAT Focus is a good bet. Same thing, if you're not just naturally crushing geometry questions, GMAT Focus is a really, really good bet because the EA has a tiny bit of geometry, but the GRE has quite a bit of geometry. We'll get more into that a little bit later. It's a major percentage of your quant score. And once again, if you could spend zero time or minimal time on geometry, because there's very little geometry on GMAT Focus in EA. I mean, if you just memorize the basic formulas, you'd probably be pretty much good to go as far as the geometry I've seen. I don't think it's zero the way a lot of people have claimed that it would be. I think it's more than zero, but it's maybe one question per test, sometimes zero. And on the GRE, we're talking like maybe four to six questions out of some 30-ish something that they've got on the new exam. Maybe it's 27. So that's a pretty major percentage. You know, it's a big chunk. And again, it's going to take you more than zero time to get really skilled at solving complicated geometry questions. If you're going for GRE, there's going to be more studying than just memorizing the basic formulas. Once again, unless you're naturally great at geometry. So like I said, if you load up a bunch of hard geometry questions and you're nailing 100% of them, don't even worry about this. But if that's not you, which is going to be the vast majority of us, GMAT Focus is a great bet. Next thing, if you're not excited about memorizing probably 2,000 new vocabulary words, or you're going to struggle to memorize that many new vocabulary words as part of your prep, that's a great reason to go with GMAT Focus, because the GRE is very vocabulary intensive. Basically, 50% of your verbal score is going to come from vocabulary. And if you don't put in the hard yards, the hours to really build your vocabulary up, and you don't naturally have an incredible vocabulary from the beginning, that's going to take a lot of time. And there's going to be a lot of luck of the draw associated with your GRE verbal score. And that can be quite frustrating when you're putting in the hours and you're seeing the overall score fluctuate quite a bit, just because sometimes you get words you know, and sometimes you get words you don't know. So once again, going back to like, are you naturally just amazing at it? If you've been reading tons and tons of books since you were a kid and your vocabulary is amazing and you aced SAT vocabulary without having to study very much, GRE could be a very good bet for you. But if that's not you, GMAT Focus has zero vocabulary, which again, it's going to cost you more than zero time to build your vocabulary up. So that's a major consideration as well. Next major consideration is if you're on a really short timeline. I think if you're on a really short timeline, GMAT Focus is the best bet out of the three exams. Number one, we already talked about this. The executive assessment has more skills to master. You're going to have to probably do at least some work on sentence correction. Once again, if you're naturally great at that, the EA could be a good bet if your target program is accepted. Also repeating, GRE has a lot more memorization involved. So that's vocabulary, but also geometry. Again, those are two whole topics that you just don't have to cover. First, you don't have to cover any vocabulary, and you can minimally cover geometry and still do amazing on GMAT Focus. So GMAT Focus has the least content that needs to be mastered, the fewest number of question types that need to be mastered strategically, and so it's going to have the fastest timeline to completion for most people. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. But compared to these other exams, there's fewer things for you to worry about and focus on, which means that you can be more dialed in with the prep time you do have and probably get a better result faster. The other reason that GMAT Focus is great on a short timeline is because of the adaptive nature of the exam, you can get around certain content areas that you might not be super strong in, because the exam doesn't really expect you to get every single question right. And so it's a lot more forgiving in terms of the score because it's not based strictly on accuracy. Whereas the GRE and the executive assessment are way more heavily based on accuracy. There's a slight adaptive component to both. But basically, those tests don't adapt one question at a time. They just adapt one section at a time. So it feels a lot more like a typical exam where you can freely go about the section and you're going to see a mix of easy, medium, and hard. And so those tests often feel easier when you take the diagnostics, but they're not actually easier to master because you have to be close to perfection on a lot of your knowledge to get really incredible scores on those tests. And so if you're on a short timeline and you didn't have a chance to master X, Y, and Z, but you're really strong with, let's say, word problems and algebra and some of the stuff you're going to see a lot of on the GMAT, and maybe you're not so hot with probability, for example, or maybe a larger example, not so hot with geometry or grammar, then GMAT Focus is going to be a lot faster to master the requisite skills and get the score that you want to see. Now, The algorithm itself can be a bit of a paradigm shift. It's a major adjustment from accuracy-based tests, and so that does require a little more strategizing. This is why I've made this podcast and built this company for all of you in the first place, because that's something I was missing back in the day, and that caused me to spend a lot more time studying than I needed to. And so that's detailed in a free video on our website, thegmatstrategy.com. You can go there, check that out if you want to understand the way the algorithm works better. And I strongly, strongly recommend that. Now, last reason to go with GMAT focus, if you're this type of person who I'm talking about right now, is if you're planning to go further in the consulting field or some type of finance roles. Those jobs will sometimes ask for a GMAT score as part of your application process. And if you're in these fields already, you're probably already aware of that. But just in case, it might be worth doing a little bit of research or maybe some light networking and some informational interviews with people who have roles that you're gunning for post-MBA or at companies you're gunning for post-MBA to just see, hey, is the GMAT part of the job application process? Because one of the worst things that could happen is you study hard for the GRE, do great, forget about it over a couple years in B school, and then all of a sudden you got to take the GMAT to get your dream job. Nobody wants to be in that situation, so you can definitely get way ahead of the game with that. Now, that's probably not going to be the majority of folks listening to this, but it's a really, really important point if you are in that boat. And if I were in your shoes, I would want somebody to give me the heads up on that. That would have definitely saved me a lot of time. So those are the reasons to go with GMAT focus. And those are the types of people for whom GMAT focus is going to be the best fit. So let's transition and let's talk about who should take the executive assessment. Number one, I'm just going to repeat this a few times. First, your school actually accepts it. Many MBA programs do accept the executive assessment instead of the GMAT or the GRE, but many do not. And so you're going to want to do the research ahead of time for this. Pretty much all executive MBA programs will accept the executive assessment, which is largely what the exam was designed for, was for exec MBA programs. And if you haven't heard of what an executive MBA is, it's usually for folks who are a little later in their career. Average age at these exec programs is late 30s, early 40s sometimes, and they've got a little bit more experience under their belt, but they're looking to get an MBA to go to the next level. And it's an easier way for those folks to get instruction that's a little more specific to their situations. And often they'll be funded by their company, like sponsorship programs, et cetera. And also they'll be able to network with people who are a little bit more in their age and experience group, which can be valuable in certain situations. Whereas traditional two-year MBA programs, the average age tends to be like late 20s, maybe early 30s on the high side, but usually more in that like 26 to 28 range. And so if you are applying to those exec programs, the EA is probably the best option for you. But it's worth looking into because if you're going for a traditional two-year MBA and all of your target schools accept the executive assessment, it can be a great option for you if you have the following criteria. So number one, you're great at grammar and you sort of passed the test that I talked about earlier with sentence correction. Definitely try some practice questions and see. If you crush them, the EA might be a better bet than GMAT focus for you because essentially, if you can do that well on sentence correction from the beginning without any studying, then it is a non-issue. It's not bringing you down. In fact, it might boost your verbal score if you're not so great at reading comp and critical reasoning, the other verbal question types. If you're naturally just amazing at sentence correction because you're probably not going to need a lot of time to answer those sentence correction questions, you'll probably get a lot of them right. And because the EA tends to be more accuracy-based than GMAT focus, that could help you out. Second reason to take the executive assessment is if you're the type of person who really struggles with fatigue during these standardized tests. The exec assessment is the shortest exam of the three by far. It's 90 minutes long, whereas the GRE, the new shortened GRE, is 2 hours. It used to be almost four. And the GMAT Focus Edition is 2 hours and 15 minutes, used to be about 4 hours as well. So fortunately, GMAT Focus and GRE have been shortened. I'll have some more content coming in the future about how that's like kind of turned out to be a neutral thing. But in terms of people who are fatigued, it's a huge, huge benefit. And I think most people are less stressed by the shorter exams, which honestly is a good thing. The GRE being 2 hours, GMAT focus being 2 hours and 15 minutes, honestly, it's a non-issue in my experience. I don't think that 15-minute horizon is really helping or hurting anybody, but a 30 or 45-minute horizon, that can be a huge, huge deal if fatigue is an issue for you. And it's definitely something to consider if you've struggled with that in the past, or if you start going down the GRE or GMAT path and you realize, man, even just that 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes is really, really, really tough for me to get the best out of myself. And I'm amazing at sentence correction. That could be a reason to pivot to the EA if you've already been studying, or honestly, if you're listening to this early on in your prep, a reason to lead off with the EA. Again, the main thing is just it's not accepted as many programs, but great option if it is accepted at the program you want. Next reason to take the executive assessment is if you're great with data analysis and or you've tried a lot of integrated reasoning questions from previous GMAT studies or current GMAT studies, which is graphs, tables, two-part analysis, and multi-source reasoning. If you're naturally great at those and you feel very confident with those, or the field you work in is very data analysis driven, you have a lot of experience with it, the integrated reasoning style questions are significantly more important on the exec assessment than they are on any other exams. They're always the first section, and your performance on that section will dictate how hard your quant and verbal sections are and the relative score ranges that you can achieve. It's not really worth going into how the EA adapts and how that scoring all works, because it's still basically just an accuracy test where you just go and try to get as many questions right as you possibly can. And it behaves very similarly to an accuracy-based test. But if you're thinking of taking the EA, I've got an episode on the executive assessment from about 5 years back, I think, that's still totally current. That exam hasn't changed in the last 5 years. Another reason to consider the EA is if you need flexible scheduling. It's free to reschedule, and the other exams, GMAT Focus and GRE, there's a lot less flexibility in terms of scheduling. Exam slots tend to book up a little bit faster. It costs money and time to change the appointment. And the exec assessment, because it's designed for people later in their careers, they're a lot more flexible around that. Now, it's a tiny bit more expensive. If you're considering an executive MBA or going to an MBA program, it's beyond negligible in terms of the cost difference. But part of what you're paying for there is that unlimited reschedule policy within, I think, as long as you're 48 hours out, you can reschedule it an unlimited number of times. At least that used to be the case. That might change. They might have changed that policy, or they might change that policy in the future. But right now, as far as I know, it's more flexible. And so that could make the EA a good bet for you if that's something that's important to you because you're an executive or you're a busy professional or you're frequently on the road or you're frequently on call. So that's the person who should take the exec assessment. The rundown there is you're great at sentence correction, school accepts the EA, you like the shortest exam possible, if possible, because fatigue might be an issue. You're great at data analysis because IR is more important, and you could benefit from a flexible schedule. Again, running down the people who should take GMAT Focus, that's you're not particularly great at grammar or sentence correction. You're not particularly great at geometry. You don't want to memorize 2,000 new words, or you're not excited about memorizing that many words and you'd like to not have to deal with that. You're on a shorter timeline because there's fewer skills to master for GMAT Focus and it's a little more forgiving in terms of accuracy. Or you're planning to go into high-level consulting or finance that requires a GMAT score for future jobs. So, who should take the GRE? Number one, you're fantastic with vocabulary, or you're fantastic enough at memorization that memorizing a lot of vocabulary words isn't going to be a big issue for you, and it's going to help you overcome maybe some of the difficulties you might have faced with the other exams. You're going to have to do lots of memorization for the GRE. Again, unless you have that masterful vocab and masterful geometry already, because geometry is quite memorization intensive. It's the most memorization intensive quant topic of all of these exams, in my opinion. But it's totally surmountable. And if that's you, then the GRE might be the best bet for you. Another thing to consider with the GRE is you're not on a super tight timeline and you want to self-study, meaning you are going to go it alone. You have a low budget or zero budget to study for this thing. Because there's actually quite a bit less strategy involved in doing well on the GRE. A lot of it is just the brute force, like memorizing, doing lots of practice questions, that kind of traditional vibe of study. And so if you have tons and tons of hours to throw at this and many months and you're not on a super strict timeline or you don't mind investing that time so it can save you the cash, then that's a potentially good reason to go for the GRE because it is the most material that must be learned for the vast majority of people. Another reason to go with the GRE is if you are terrible with hand computation or basic mental math, because you really need the calculator on the quant section. There is a calculator on the quant section on the GRE, It's definitely not as useful as it might sound, but it's very useful if you're that type of person who's just super struggled with computation issues on GMAT or EA study so far, or you just know yourself and you're never going to be great at those basics of math. That could be one reason to go with the GRE from the beginning. You do get that calculator in the quant section. There is a calculator in the data insights section on GMAT Focus. But it's even less relevant, I would say, than the calculator on the GRE. There's a few opportunities to use it, and I think you should use it when you can. It's very helpful when you can use it, but it's not something that the test writers are intentionally leveraging heavily. Next reason to take the GRE is if you're not 100% sure you want to go to B-school, and you might consider a different graduate program in the future, like a master's in science or a PhD program or something like that. Most like master's of finance, master's of accounting, or healthcare MBAs, they'll take the exact assessment in the GMAT, so that's probably still the best bet if that's you. But if you're talking about or considering getting a PhD in philosophy or a master's in English literature, and maybe not going to B school or trying to do both, then the GRE can be a good bet for that. Same thing if you're going to do like a JD MBA, you can usually take the GRE and not have to take GMAT and LSAT. But if you're on that path already, you've probably done the research and you see some schools are quite flexible with the test for those dual degree programs. Having said that, I have heard from a couple sources, not a lot, but a couple sources, so take this with a grain of salt, that if you do take the GMAT, it does show a little bit stronger intent for B-school, like you're all in on that path. Something to consider. But any school who accepts the GRE, they view the tests equally, and they're going to just look at your GRE, convert it to a GMAT score, and then use that to compare with other applicants, as far as I know. I'm not in every decision room with every school. There might be different schools that do that differently, but from what I understand, that's the basics of how that goes. So you shouldn't be afraid to take the GRE or the exec assessment, because if the school says they accept it, they're not going to downgrade you for having GRE or EA. But the GMAT could potentially have a positive effect. But again, let's take that with a grain of salt. Another reason to take the GRE, you're naturally amazing at geometry. Again, a lot more heavily tested there. If you're naturally amazing with vocab, naturally amazing with geometry, GRE might be a great bet because you can just get those questions right with minimal or zero effort. Last reason to take the GRE is you're not very good with data analysis, and you don't want to try to use this standardized test prep process to improve your data analysis skills. If that's you, for whatever reason, there's way fewer charts and graphs on the GRE. There's, I think, 3 data analysis questions on any given GRE. They're part of the quant section. But on the exec assessment, there's a whole section of 12 integrated reasoning questions, which is all data analysis. And then on GMAT Focus, you'll see between 12 and 15 integrated reasoning data analysis questions. And so if you're really strong with data analysis, that would be a vote for GMAT or exec assessment. If you're really weak with data analysis, charts, graphs, tables, etc., that could be a vote for the GRE. So if you're working in business these days, chances are you have a lot of experience with that kind of thing. But just if for whatever reason you need or want to get around that, GRE is a great way to do that. So that's the basic rundown. People who should take the GRE, already great with vocab, have a lot of time to memorize, not on a tight timeline, terrible with hand computation and really need a calculator. Not sure if you want to go to business school in the first place and want to keep your options open, naturally get great at geometry, and not so excited about data analysis and data synthesizing questions. That's the GRE, folks. Let me give you a little bit of general advice that cuts across all exams and tie this off for you. Number one, if you're still really unsure after listening to that breakdown, definitely take practice exams for each of the exams and compare them. That's the best data that you could get, is like the experiment N of one, where you're just running it on yourself and seeing what's best for me. I've already given you a lot of background there, but that's definitely the next step if you're still undecided. Take the exams, and then that should really, really help you out. It should make the decision quite clear at that point. But if you're really not sure, for sure, reach out to us and we can help you decide, no prob. Second, sort of just general tip, you can only take the executive assessment 2 times total. That's it, ever. You can only take it twice. Now, again, that policy might change in the future. It might already have changed between when I'm recording this episode and when I publish it in a few days. But for now, as far as I know, that's a pretty restrictive limit, given that most people are going to take these tests 2 to 3 times to achieve their maximum score. That's the case for most of us. GMAT and GRE, you can take up to 5 times in a 12-month period. And last time I checked, it's an 8-lifetime limit. So that gives you a lot more flexibility in terms of retaking the exams. So if you have a lot of performance anxiety, or you're just worried that the ability to take the exam very few times might affect you, or there's a certain reason you want to get at least 3 repetitions in, definitely steer away from the exec assessment and focus on GMAT or GRE. Third tip, don't worry about the details of how the score reporting works or any other like small picture differentiators that a lot of articles online are going to just iterate and list out between the exams. A lot of that is just a distraction. Focus on the exam that's going to give you the best odds of success for you personally. Everything else is just at best a detail in comparison to that. And honestly, it's easy to work those other things out. Now, one last thing that's worth saying is there are more free resources available for GMAT because there's a larger support community around GMAT. And I'm not totally sure why that is, but for practice questions from official sources, there's a lot more replies on GMAT forums than there are for GRE forums. And so if you're planning to do this totally for free and you're not already super close to your goal score on the GRE, or you are like, oh man, you know, I really do want to do it for free. I have a lot of time, but GRE is not seeming like a good bet. Then GMAT would definitely get the edge there with free resources because it's probably just an easier path if you're not going to invest at all and you're very, very capital constrained. Again, if you have more questions about any of this at any time, you can feel free to reach us at the GMAT Strategy on current social channels. Right now, that's Facebook, Instagram, and Reddit direct message. And as always, my greatest hope is that this material will make your studies as easy and as painless as they can possibly be. If you want more tips and strategies for optimizing your performance on the GMAT, just head to our website, thegmatstrategy.com, and check out our free video presentation on how to achieve your dream GMAT score in half the normal time. In the meantime, this is a weekly show, so please subscribe and stay positive and stay consistent with your studies. I believe in you. I'll talk to you all soon.